This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Catullus is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, where his work focuses on U.S. national security policy in the Middle East and South Asia. His most recent book is The Prosperity Agenda. And you can check out his work online at AmericanProgress.org. Brian joins us live from somewhere in Israel. Brian, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on the program.
Absolutely. So what's your take on the events? We saw tremendous demonstrations in the streets in Tahrir Square and throughout the major cities of Egypt. There are still people demonstrating, and still now and then thousands join in the streets protesting for democracy in that country and telling Mubarak just to simply go away. What's the latest?
Well, I think there's a standoff that's been in place now for several days, and it centers on whether Mubarak will stay or go, and that's been a primary demand of the protesters, that Mubarak go and go soon. But it's also, I think, a bigger standoff over how power is shared within Egypt and who runs the government. And I think this is going to be a long negotiation. I don't think this sort of process resolves itself in any short period of time, in part because you've got a deeply entrenched regime that has essentially run this country since 1952, on the one hand, and you've got a political opposition that is quite passionate, as we see from the people in the street. But they, as yet, I think, aren't organized as a political force, and are a bit unknown and faceless, has been noted, in terms of traditional political movements. So I think, you know, the standoff could happen and go on for a long period of time here. You know, it's nothing short of historic. I lived in Egypt for about 2 years, and I think this was hard to fathom that this would happen. But people, you know, saw hints of the frustration growing because of the deep social and economic problems the country's facing.
We're talking with Brian Catullus. It's AmericanProgress.org. He's joined us live from Israel, where it is very late at night. We appreciate his time. So Mubarak is well-trenched enough where he could just hope a strategy might be just to ride it out and hope that the people get tired and go home, or will they storm the palace, as it were?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the key questions, but I would, again, try to stress that it's deeper than Mubarak, you know, because even if Mubarak leaves tomorrow, there'll be a bigger question of whether the people he's appointed to succeed him, Omar Suleiman, the vice president, these are people who've run the country for decades, and what I'm saying is it's almost symbolic. It's an important symbolism of whether Mubarak stays or goes, but there's an old order that has surrounded Mubarak that I don't think is leaving anytime soon. And it's interesting to me that Obama has, I think very privately, issued some strong demands, and Vice President Biden just had a phone call this afternoon with Omar Suleiman, the new vice president of Egypt, to try to press the regime for bigger reforms than they've already kind of outlined. And I just think this is going to be an ongoing process for a long period of time.
Yeah. We're talking with Brian Catullus of the Center for American Progress, national security expert and an expert on affairs in the Middle East. So let me ask you about this. One of the wild cards that a lot of people seem to be very concerned about, especially political conservatives in America, is the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. You've lived there. You know these people. What's your opinion on this?
Look, I mean, the Muslim Brotherhood is the most organized political opposition in Egypt. And that's in part a consequence of the simple fact of the matter that the Egyptian regime didn't allow any of the secular democratic parties that wanted to organize to have much room or much share or seat at the table. So this pushed a lot of the politics into the mosques. And this was a process that began, you know, under Anwar Sadat, Hosni Mubarak's predecessor, and it's deeply entrenched. Now, today, you know, what's interesting to me is that the youth that are on the streets of Cairo and Alexandria don't seem to be coming from the Muslim Brotherhood. This seems to be a different sort of creature, the next generation, if you will, using technology, Facebook, Twitter, quite savvy, and they're not looking to the guys with the beards to lead them. I mean, and that's what I think is, at least at this stage. They want to change things. They have a kind of general demand of change, but I don't think they're taking their cues from the Muslim Brotherhood at all.
We're talking with Brian Katulis of the Center for American Progress, and his most recent book is The Prosperity Agenda. Check it out. It is a fantastic book. Brian, what's your recommendation? You wrote a recent article recommending proactive efforts on the part of the American government, steps that they weren't necessarily taking that you were encouraging the Obama administration to take. What's your prescription?
Well, I think item number one, and I think they're starting to do this, is they really have to aggressively engage a full range of Egyptian actors to really push them into what I call a political roadmap. Because what Mubarak and then his Vice President Suleiman have outlined in terms of some amendments to the Constitution to open up the presidential elections that were scheduled for this fall anyway is not cutting it. It's not, there's, you know, Egypt's a country that lives under emergency rule, which means that the police and the state security sector have extraordinary powers to arrest and repress people. And it's hard to have a free and fair election in that sort of context. So helping build this, helping Egyptians craft this political roadmap by reaching out to, you know, the powers that be and then the diverse opposition, I think, is what they're doing now. And I think a big part of what they need to do differently, too, is stop talking so much publicly about this. And there's clear messages that they need to send to the Egyptian people. There's messages of reassurance that they need to send to other allies in the Middle East, like Israel and Saudi Arabia. But, you know, I think some of this diplomacy is going to require an approach that's modest, just to ensure that there isn't this made in America stamp on it. Because
right,
we can't tell the Egyptians what to do, but we can certainly quietly use our leverage, use our assistance, use our military cooperation to try to shape the outcome that that I think is helpful for opening a political transition here.
Yeah, I certainly think we have room for input considering the fact that we give them, what, $3 billion a year in military aid?
Well, it's about $1.5 billion.
Okay.
And that's not insignificant. But you know, the aid is the sort of thing. It's a lever that you want to use judiciously, because in cases like Pakistan, another country I've worked in and lived in, and I'm actually going there next week. We cut off aid to Pakistan in reaction to their nuclear program, and once we did that, it also cut off some of the ties in cooperation that were essential for helping shape dynamics in that country. So you want to, you know, I think it's one of the levers, and you know, Egyptians, I think, will listen to us, but we can't simply, it's as simple as, you know, threatening to cut off their aid, and they're
yeah,
going to listen
yeah.
to us, because it requires a deft diplomatic dance.
We're honored to be talking live with Brian Katulis of the Center for American Progress, live from Israel, and Martha is with us on the line in Charlottesville. Martha, you're on with Brian Katulis. You go right ahead.
Thank you. I just have a question. I've heard it said and don't know for sure if it's true that the Muslim Brotherhood was responsible for the assassination of Anwar Sadat. Is that true or not?
Well, you know who I was. Chris Matthews had raised that, and if you look at the man and the group that killed Anwar Sadat, they come from a violent wing of the Muslim Brotherhood, but they aren't the same today. You know, the Muslim Brotherhood, and this is one point I think should be clear, is that they have the same roots as Al-Qaeda and a range of terrorist groups, but the Muslim Brotherhood that we talk about in Egypt today is a nonviolent movement. So the assassin of Sadat was part of an extremist wing, if you will, but I don't think that represents sort of the core Muslim Brotherhood that I think mostly wants to operate in a political space in Egypt.
Martha, thank you very much for the call. Brian, before we let you go, you are in Israel. What's the reaction there from the folks on the street and from the government, and what are they hoping happens?
Well, I think the Israeli reaction is understandably concerned about stability, and they're worried about any sort of sense that change could bring about a partner in this region, because Egypt has had a peace treaty with Israel for the last 30 years, and I think the primary concern is would any change bring any greater instability to the region? And I think Israelis are looking around their neighborhood. They're seeing to the north of them Hezbollah, a terrorist group that just took over the Lebanese government. Their relations with Turkey have been strained. Israel and Turkey have had strained relations. And now I think there's this sense of foreboding and worry as opposed to cheering on the protesters in the streets, where I think it's a much sharper and divided sentiment. And the Israeli officials, I think uniformly, are concerned about what they call Obama throwing Mubarak under the bus. So it's a really interesting dynamic, whereas I think the protesters in the streets are worried that Obama is not leaning enough on Mubarak to get him to go, the Israelis almost have the exact opposite perception, that Obama's just throwing this ally out who has been by the U.S. and Israel for decades.
What do you think are the chances that Mubarak will go between now and September? He's already said he'll go at the September fall elections, but do you think they'll actually be able to get him out before then?
I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's so uncertain, and I if I had to bet, I bet he digs his heels in. I mean, this is a man who can't imagine, and if you saw his interview with Christiane Amanpour on ABC, he just can't imagine an Egypt without him in this transition phase. And it's a ridiculous point of view. Certainly, he's not indispensable to that nation. But given that he's built up this authoritarian and repressive power structure, it's hard, I think, for anyone inside the system, and then even outsiders like the U.S., to just simply say, go. And in light of how the region's reacting to this, including, I mentioned Israel, but also Saudi Arabia and other countries, I think, I hate to say this, I don't think it's good for the sake of the Egyptian people or for the country, but I think Mubarak is likely to dig his heels in.
Yeah. Brian, I know you got to go. I got just one last question here. What do you say to the folks here in America who, a lot of conservatives among them, who seem very comfortable and delighted at American-imposed democracy, at the end of an M16 in Iraq, and yet when people take to the streets and they have their own democratic revolution in Egypt, they're very nervous about it suddenly, and they don't think they can handle it, and that they need a strict leader there.
Well, look, first, I think conservatives and Republicans, before I left Washington, it seemed like they were Republicans. The most responsible ones were backing the president because they understand how complicated this issue is. They also understand that we as a country need to stand for the highest ideals of human rights and freedom and democracy. We need to start putting our policy where our rhetoric is on that. So you had a couple of fringe people, the loudmouths like Sarah Palin and Rick Santorum, former senator from Pennsylvania, who's running for president, it seems. But I would just say, look, let's keep our wits about this. This is a complicated issue. And what we're seeing out in the streets of Egypt, I think, is quite inspiring. You're seeing people risking their lives for the sake of having the sorts of freedoms that you and I take for granted in America. And it's better that this happens in some sort of peaceful way where our military is not involved and our soldiers aren't going over there to try to change things. It's scary because we can't control it, but we can shape it and we can influence it if we keep our wits about us.
Brian Katulis, he's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, a national security expert in the Middle East and South Asia. You can check out his work online at AmericanProgress.org and get his latest book, The Prosperity Agenda. Brian, thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thank you. See you.
And safe travels as well as he goes on to Pakistan next week.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.